My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Retro Ray.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Josh.
And this is where we talk all things Star Wars. So, gentlemen, it's been a little while. I know Josh especially. What have you been up to, Josh?
Lots of work. My schedule's been changing, but, I mean, the galaxy has been doing well. So, lots of new fun things happening to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about the new lightsabers that were announced. You're talking about how the new, I think the Stellan, is it the Stellan Geos lightsaber?
Yes, it's the Crossguard one that's apparently coming. I'm very excited to see it, and I wonder if it's going to be the new updated one with the thinner sabers, the more screen accurate, since I want to see something from the comics and the books be placed in out there and get it physically. I'm pretty excited for that. Also, right now, we have all the stuff that would have been sold at the Halcyon, so technically anyone can get it right now, which is pretty cool.
$119, is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Hey, Josh, so have you read the High Republic comics?
Depends on which one, but yes. I think I have like a whole stack of them over here, but yes, I got that one with Dexter Jetster and his bounty missions.
Yeah, so issue number one for volume three, I guess, starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to start reading the graphic novels one and two. Is it pretty good, the ones you have read?
Yeah, the ones I've read. I mean, the design of it is really cool. And I think that probably has some of the coolest saber designs out of any of the things that we've seen so far. From them looking like cutlasses and fencing swords. They're like really, really cool designs. I think one day we'll be able to have those in Galaxy's Edge if we're going to start with this Crossguard saber. So I'm pretty, pretty excited.
That's awesome. So,
sweet.
Nice.
There's a lot of gold in those sabers.
Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll see more of that in Acolyte.
Fingers crossed.
So before we get any further, we do want to thank our awesome Patreon supporters out there. On the purple tier, we have Hayden Hauser, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Texas Vader 76, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Dev McCaffrey, Drew Peters, and some guy named Zach Netzel. On the red tier, we have Fenrir 526, Maya Morris. On the black tier, we have Maka Talatala, Nathan Shank, Evan O'Paker. Thank you so much, of course, to everyone out there that supports the podcast, that jumps on Patreon, likes our stuff there, and interacts with us there daily. I had a pretty cool interaction today on the messaging platform on Patreon with one of our patrons. So hopefully we can get a couple of our stories done here pretty soon. But on to the main topics here. So the big story I think that broke today was in regards to the actor strike. Primarily the deal that involves the studios wanting to use AI and taking the scans of actors using their likeness in perpetuity after they're paid a set fee, and that's it. So even if they pass away, the studios still want to use their likenesses. For me personally, there's a moral quandary in there. It's kind of weird. It's kind of morbid. It feels kind of unfair because you scan an actor. I mean, it's them. It's their face. It's their likeness. So you would think that you would maybe be able to get some type of royalties. I don't know how you guys feel on the subject, because it's kind of a gray area too, because you have to look at it as a corporation, I think. And then you have to also look at it as the individual actor. I've worked in corporations before. I know kind of how they operate and how they act. This doesn't surprise me at all. But today was the day where I think they came to the table with SAG-AFTRA, with the president, Fran Drescher, and all the, I guess, the upper management of SAG-AFTRA, and said, this is what we're proposing, that we use the scans of actors, just pay a set fee up front, and that's it, and not pay the actors going forward. And we've known, I think, for a few months now, this was basically a soft deadline. If they didn't come to an agreement now, an agreement is not going to be reached until next year. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. So I'm not a member of SAG. I'm not an actor. I don't have a huge stake in this. But I know that other people on the podcast that aren't here, I know, have very strong opinions about this. I know Ray has a very strong opinion, and she'll talk about it on Thursday, of course. But I want to get your opinion, starting with Josh. What do you think about all this? You think it's fair?
If you're going into the fact of being able to quote unquote revive someone into an acting role, I believe in, like, just in my opinion, I think it's a really cool idea. I feel like people, it just needs to have the footwork in case, so that it doesn't get abused as a system. I know there's a lot of people, especially like, well, Bruce Willis now is a really good example of, he's completely nonverbal now. Like, he can't even communicate anymore. Yeah. And it would be amazing to be able to see him still be able to put on performances with AI, but only given in the fact of, I want to do this. If they want to do this, that's great. I think it just needs that catching net that even if I pass away, you're not going to abuse this. Like, let's say I say something in the future and you change my lines and I'm not going to get paid as much. I think a big one right now has been like residuals and people actually getting paid what they're worth, Netflix deals, streaming show deals, and they're not getting paid what they deserve. And I think this should be a very big thing, because it's like you're only going to get residuals from it because you're not physically going to be there. I think it's a cool time in history where we're going to actually be able to take on these actors and keep them towards like 100 years from now, we still have them. I think that we really just need that safety net so that it doesn't go overboard.
I remember back in the 90s, there was a Super Bowl commercial, I think. It was like a big deal when they got the actor, guys, help me out. He was Singing in the Rain.
Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly, yep, that's him. So they made a big deal about him being in a new commercial, and they raised those that interesting kind of question of, should we be taking actors that have long passed and using their likenesses? Of course, at that time, they paid his estate, and that's the big thing. If we do use the scans of actors that have passed away, you would think that their estate should be
compensated fairly.
Yeah, compensated fairly. Yeah. Thanks, Josh. I mean, that I remember that when I was a little kid, that was a big deal. And now we've kind of gone through it a little bit, not with the AI part of it, but with the passed away actors, especially with Rogue One with Grand Moff Tarkin, when there was CGI, there were artists that rendered Peter Cushing's face onto, I believe, Guy Henry's face, and Guy Henry did a voice impersonation of Grand Moff Tarkin. They didn't have re-speecher then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Which I'm kind of interested to see how that would be comparable now. But Star Wars hasn't really gone there yet. It's going to get there. But Zach, what are your thoughts on the whole matter?
I'm kind of a mixed bag on this one, because, I mean, as a fan, like, seeing these characters that we know and love kind of never die, essentially, that's incredible. But, like, if you think about, you know, the estates that remain after actors have passed, you know, I think out of respect for these, you know, families and friends of the people who are around after the passing of these actors, if they don't want these people to show up in projects, I can understand that and see how they should get a say in it. Or like what Josh was saying, they'd be compensated fairly if, you know, if Disney pushed really hard. Let's say, you know, God forbid Mark Hamill passed away in the next couple of years and they wanted to bring in Luke Skywalker for this Filoni film. And, you know, or Mark Hamill's family was all for him doing that or something like that. It's kind of, I guess, kind of from a moral aspect, I see that to be a little bit more all right, but it's, you got to ride the line with it a little bit and just make sure you don't overstay your welcome at the same time with having these characters around forever and ever and ever and ever, because eventually, you know, things don't have meaning or weight to them if if it never ends, I guess. My prime example with that is like Iron Man in the Avengers movies. It, you know, if you bring him back, is it like, even if it's an alternate reality version of Robert Downey Jr. or whatever, like it just takes away from the weight of the story we have so far. And you can only do that so much with certain characters. And as much as I love seeing Luke Skywalker, if you just keep bringing him back and back and back again, it's, I don't know. That's just kind of my opinion on that.
Ray, what are your thoughts?
I pretty much stand with the actors. Perfect example. There's a couple things. One, like we saw Flash. They bought back Helen. Well, Helen Slater's still alive. And they bought back Christopher Reeves. And they paired him up together. You know, and then they also bought back George Reeves in there as well. Now, did George Reeves' estate have any hand in it? I'm pretty sure they probably didn't. So I think they should... That should be something that's a case-by-case basis. Each should say, so let's say someone doesn't have, they don't have family, and they have a house or a mansion. It goes to whatever state they live in, and they can do whatever they want to do with it. It's kind of that same preference. For up-and-coming actors, if that's what they're wanting to do to the up-and-coming actors, I think that's unfair because they're paying them one flat rate, and they want to be able to use them wherever they want as fill-ins in other movies or vice versa. I think they should get paid equally for what they're doing and not be used in that aspect. Now, mind you, perfect example, like Zach said, you know, let's say Mark Hamill passes away, but let's say the family says, hey, we want him, we want his legacy to live on. So we're going to okay this. We're going to let you use him for another couple of scenes in a movie or something, or flashback. Okay, that's different. You know what I mean? If they have that written in the clause that, okay, they're going to get a percentage of this or whatever. Okay, then that's between the studios and the estate or the family. But when the actors are alive, I don't think they have, they should do that. I mean, the actors have a right to say, okay, no, yeah, you don't want to do this. Maybe before Zach and Josh's time. Did y'all ever see Running Man?
Yes.
Okay. I have not.
Okay. There's, well, basically Running Man is they frame him by using technically in that movie is AI to reconstruct Schwarzenegger's face saying he killed a crowd and they put him in prison and that's why he's in there. Pretty much we're getting to that point now where that's how good AI is getting, where they can actually put your face on David's face and say it was you doing something that you didn't do.
Sure.
It's kind of scary. We're going into that Skynet area right now.
Yeah, and even they can manipulate footage that's existing. Like I know for Carrie Fisher, they used like deleted scenes and kind of manipulated dialogue a little bit. But for Luke Skywalker coming back in Mando season 2, I believe they took existing frames that existed of Mark Hamill's face and kind of use those to their advantage to create as realistic of a Luke Skywalker from that time frame as they could. I feel like they'd need to specify, hey, you can use existing footage of me to do what you want with it, or you have to ask me to use a frame, or it, you know, it's got to get specific and you got to get down to the nitty gritty with it.
I mean, that's my stance. That's how I feel. I mean, it's kind of one of those, we're in a new world right now. And a scary part, that's the truth right there. It's getting scary right now.
Yeah, when I was younger, when I was trying to start my working career, I guess I kind of had a choice. I could either pursue like the Hollywood thing, and I kind of wanted to be like a CGI artist, or I could pursue the safer technology route and work in information technologies, which is what I pursued because I had a wife and kids. So I wanted to take that route. And early on, I was taught that AI is going to render 80 to 90% of the jobs we have now, make them extinct. So it really didn't shock me that this is happening. And it almost feels like it's eventual that this is all going to happen. And AI has so increased in its power and its complexity, and it's almost indistinguishable because you'll look at certain videos and stuff and you can kind of, there's still like an uncanny valley aspect to it where you can tell that it's AI or something like it. It's a little off, but it feels like this decade we're going to hit the point where it's going to be indistinguishable from reality. And people are already doing that thing where they have, I've seen a lot of stuff with other podcasters, like really huge podcasters. They use their voice, but you can still kind of tell that it's AI. I think we're there. Unfortunately, this actor strike, it's gonna affect Star Wars and all the other franchises we love. They're just gonna, everything is just gonna be pushed back that much more. And like I said earlier, the deal, they're not gonna come back to the table until probably next year to talk things out, because I think there was some type of TV deadline or something. But I think that's the word out there that it's not going to happen this year. If today went by without a deal being done, it's not going to be till next year, unfortunately. So,
The ones that are going to get the ones that are going to be hurting are the theaters, because now with all these movies getting pushed back, why are we going to want to go to the theater?
Yeah, especially for this month. I think this month's main one was going to be Dune Part 2. I think theaters are hurting a lot right now just because that movie is so pushed back.
Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah. So the next big topic I want to talk about here is the Hulu purchase. I don't know, Josh, you heard about that. But Hulu, at one point in time, I believe it was cut into three pieces of ownership. I believe it was Disney, someone else, and Comcast Universal. And then I think Disney purchased a portion of it. Oh, it was Fox, because they did the Fox deal and they bought Fox, 20th Century Fox, for about $76 billion or so. So then Disney became a 66% owner of the Hulu streaming service. And now there's only 33.3% left that they don't own. So apparently Disney is trying to purchase that from Comcast Universal. And of course, we all know Universal, they essentially have their own streaming service in Peacock, which they can put all their content on already. But Hulu was a nice little hub, I think, for people that cut the cord from cable, because you can watch stuff from ABC, NBC, live shows, live TV. And I think they have something like a YouTube TV type of service where you can watch live TV to kind of take the place of cable. But now, if Disney owns the entirety of Hulu, my question is, what does that mean for us Star Wars fans? Is it going to change anything? Apparently, it looks like Marvel have changed a little bit before this purchase. They're doing more R-rated content, which is mature content, which is, I think, was on the horizon, because they're going to have a Deadpool movie. And I think they're going
to Blade just got announced that it was going to be R as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just on Prime earlier, and if you look at like HBO Max and Prime, you can scroll down and it will come up with other streaming services. Hulu and Disney are the only two that are not included in that other like free trial streaming services. But like, if you go into HBO Max, like Peacock is right there as well. Like, it'll be like, hey, do you want to start a free trial of this? Shudder is there. It's all these different pieces. And I'm like, I wonder when we'll get to the point where all of those will fuse into one. And then you'll have the Disney one. It'll only be two different sides of the like streaming services.
Some people are predicting that Hulu and Disney Plus will fuse into one big streaming
service.
So, because I know it was such a pain when I would have to log into Disney Plus and type in my code to get like all like the Netflix Marvel stuff to be included. I want to see the entire catalog of stuff I have access to.
Yeah.
And then again, I don't have children in my house anymore. All my kids are adults now, so that didn't matter, and they don't care about that stuff anyway. So it was kind of a pain. I think I was able to adjust it, but what are your guys' opinions? Is this going to affect Star Wars in any way? Is there something that people aren't really talking about?
Creative ways, I'm very interested. However, it's one of those things where I'm going, hey, I'm looking at it by the financial side of things. I know if we end up completely buying out the other shares for Hulu, that'll put other stuff on the back burner, because we always have a budget for our films and our movies, and we've been pushing that for like the last 3 or 4 years. It's streaming services, movies, that kind of thing. So Hulu opening the door for maybe smaller projects. I know that Hulu does or has Marvel projects that aren't necessarily MCU, but they're able to do their own kind of thing with it. Could be interesting. I'm all for them doing more kind of Star Wars projects that they don't necessarily have to fit into canon. I'd really do like Visions. But I think that if you're talking like, hey, we can push things that we wouldn't be able to push on Disney Plus, that's a very, very interesting area, and I would love to see what they do with it.
Zach, what do you think?
I think it could create an opportunity for more eyes to get on Star Wars kind of as a whole. I believe the first three episodes of Andor were on ABC. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that was released. It was probably about a year or so ago now, maybe a little less.
Yeah, it was last year, I believe.
Yeah, and just knowing how Disney's tied into that network, and I know a lot of shows from that network go to Hulu, and I mean, maybe they could double dip and have a couple of Star Wars shows that are supposed to be Disney Plus exclusives end up on Hulu. Maybe if they merge, that won't matter. That's just kind of where my brain went, because we talked about this on Patreon a little bit, but we could see that Echo coming out for Marvel. It's going to be on Hulu and Disney Plus, and all the episodes are dropping at once. I don't know if that's them just trying to get it on more eyes, or if that's just part of their merger, potential merger deal with Hulu. The writing's on the wall with that just a little bit, in my opinion. It could be more of a strategy just to get more eyes on it in general, but that assumes that people still hang on if there's a price increase, or there will be a price increase. And
it's interesting to see what we'll go into. And I think we're going to eventually hit a point where people start being priced out. And I feel like a lot of people now don't just have one streaming service. They have multiple streaming services. However, if you start bumping up the price of every streaming service, I feel like people will pick and choose. And I think now is a great time to start these mergers where it becomes maybe one, two, or three different streaming sites instead of we have like 10 or 12 right now. I know that it's a big thing where people they'll drop TV shows and they won't have them on Netflix, and they're selling around their different shows to different streaming networks. And I'd like it all to be just either on one or two and lessen the fact and keep as much of a library of viewing as possible.
Yeah, I think Sony is doing a really good play right now, being kind of the mercenary out there and licensing their content to Disney Plus and Max, and just not having a streaming service might be the best move that any studio can make. And it's serving them well, because I just saw an ad for Far From Home coming to Disney Plus, and it's like, really? Yeah. It's like that's a super old film now. But I mean, Sony's making money off of it.
The new Spider-Verse movie's on Netflix too, mm-hmm. So they got their feet in a couple different pools, and it might work out for them.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Sony lately. They've been making some very shrewd moves. So, Ray, what do you think about the whole thing here?
When I had cable back in the day, that's one thing that we used to talk about between me and my wife, is that, yeah, you have these 100-something channels, and you really don't watch all 100-whatever channels they had at the time. You know, like us, we would just watch sci-fi at that time when my grandkids came over, Nickelodeon, Disney Plus. Not Disney Plus. I think it was Disney Plus. Anyway, Disney, you know, we didn't watch all the other channels. Discovery Channel, you know, those are the things that we watch. We didn't watch, unless there was something.
You didn't watch the RV channel, Ray?
No, I didn't watch the RV channel. But like I told my wife, I was like, well, would be cool if we can just say, okay, we just want these five networks to watch, and that's it. And then later on down the line, that's when the streaming services came out, which was kind of where we're at right now. You've got Peacock, which has WW on there as well, and I know there's a
wrestling or live wrestling. Sports
live sports. Well, then now HBO is doing the same thing too, so now with HBO you can watch TNT basketball if you don't have cable. So it's kind of like that. They're I don't know if they're all testing the market, because like right now, because we live in Texas, you know, we can't, unless you have cable, you can't watch the Spurs game because they're playing on Bally Fox or something like that.
Well, you can watch it on the Bally's app, which is what I have. It's like $20 a month.
Yes, you see, it's another app and another, you know what I mean? And it's just for that. So it's kind of that.
I got to watch thing. Wimby, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, after, what is it, November 12th, we can go watch it at the new big screen parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Victory Capital Performance Center.
Yeah. So, I mean, the streaming service, like, don't get me wrong, they're great. It's just, at the time, and I talked to a buddy of mine before, where I told him it's going to be a battle, because that's how cable was. You know, when you had HBO, you had stuff that came straight through there, or whatever was in theaters, it was HBO and Showtime at the time. So it was a battle between the two. Okay, who's going to get which movie and who's going to show it on Showtime, or is it going to be on HBO? Josh, this is way before when you guys were younger. That's all we had to watch was HBO and Showtime, maybe Cinemax if we were lucky. But now there's so much you have at your disposal.
I feel like paid programming in general allowed for quality of shows to go up, because I would say like Sopranos and The Wire were just amazing shows but they had the budget due to the fact that you would pay for it. Exactly. Nowadays, it's kind of interesting with, you know, everything's a brand deal, and I feel like we've gone towards more of a focus of, well, if you're going to pay for this, we just got to put out as much content as possible, not necessarily making as much like quality as possible.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like we're trying to appease everyone so that, and I feel like the goal isn't based on a show, this is the money that we get in. It's more like everyone needs to come to the streaming service and purchase it so that they can watch all these different shows. We all have all these different shows. So, I mean, towards the future, very, very interested in seeing where we're going with this, because it sucks that it's not based on ratings anymore. It's based on how many sales you can get for a streaming service.
Well, so even back then they had DVR. They wouldn't count the DVR recordings and watchings before for ratings on shows, which to me, I thought was always dumb, because that's the only way I got to watch shows, because of the shift I worked, like Smallville, Supernatural. Mm-hmm. I had to record all those. If not, I would have to wait till the DVD comes out to actually go back and watch them, you know? So I think they should have counted that stuff in the ratings, but they never did. And even right now, and I know probably all y'all do the same thing. Like right now, I just started binge watching Bones again, because I stopped watching it like in season, I think, 6. So I went back and I'm starting to watch it again, because I used to love that show, but just because of the time frame and recordings, I didn't get to watch all of it. So I'm going back and binge watching that show. But it has its goods and bads.
Yeah, I totally foresee once this purchase goes down, Hulu's going to merge with Disney Plus, and we're going to have a whole section of Hulu content, which is probably more mature. And I like the fact, I think you brought it up, Josh, that the MCU is doing that whole out of canon shows and movies and stuff. That's what I've been preaching about with Star Wars, do out of canon stuff. Hopefully they take the cue from Marvel and do that. And maybe you can put some kind of Star Wars spotlight, like almost like fan films even, because I think some of these fan films are going to get indistinguishable at some point to what Lucasfilm provides. So hopefully they do little projects. And of course you brought up Visions. Visions is fantastic. Hopefully they go that route and they give more of these creative filmmakers that have new ideas on where to take Star Wars. And
because I mean, we had like Marvel Runaways, we had the MODOK show, yeah, which was really fun. I think
Cloak
we even
and
had
Dagger.
Like, yeah, Cloak and Dagger, Legion, all those ones.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity, but I foresee once they merge, there's going to be a grace period pretty much. And then once that period is up, maybe Netflix goes up more in price. That's when the streaming channel is going to go up a little bit more, and it might price a lot of people out, which is going to be unfortunate. But I think that's what we're headed towards, unfortunately. The next thing I really want to talk about here is SpaceCon. Every year now, in my backyard in San Antonio, Texas, there is a big convention with major celebrities descending upon my area of the country in South Texas. And it's always fantastic. It really mirrors, I think, San Antonio. Everyone says San Antonio is kind of like the little big city, you know, where San Antonio is, I believe, like the 7th largest city in the country. But it's got a very small town feel to it, and I think this con really resembles it. But of course, this convention has brought in celebrities like Ben Affleck, Jason Momoa, Ray Fisher. I know those are all DC actors, but after that, I believe, help me out, Ray, who is at the next con after that?
I think we're getting the voice of Darth Maul, aren't we?
No, I'm talking about after. So this particular convention started about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And then it's gotten bigger and bigger. I know the first year they had all those DC actors, and then
I think
it was at the JW Marriott. It went from a hotel, and then I think it went to another location, but eventually kind of turned into superhero car show and Comic-Con, and it includes a car show because there's a whole building with cars from other franchises like Ghostbusters and Batman. Cool. And whatever have you. It's just grown and grown and grown, and they've partnered with Ace, who the owner of that Khan has a great relationship with Disney and Marvel, and they were getting a bunch of huge celebrities during the MCU's heyday. And now they partnered up with Superhero Comic-Con Car Show, and now there's going to be a separate, there's going to be two conventions a year now. There's still going to be the traditional one in the summertime. That's going to be 4 days at the end of June. And then there's going to be something called SpaceCon, which was just introduced this past week, I believe. And there on the screen, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see the date there, October 25th through the 27th. It's going to be about a year from now, 2024. And of course, the name of the con is SpaceCon. So you figure there's going to be a big Star Wars presence. So there's not been any announcements, official announcements yet, but we've had the showrunner on the podcast before, and we have a pretty good relationship with him. Last summer, we were at that same convention, and of course, Ray and I worked with Count Density Geekcast. They had a booth, and the founder, Ted, moderated the panels for Katie Sackhoff and Ming-Na Wen. It went off great. It was fantastic. I love the fact that this convention kind of represents our part of the country, which is very, very underrepresented, I think. But all these big celebrities show up, and it's great. For this to be SpaceCon, of course, you're going to have other franchises, Doctor Who, Star Trek probably as well, and probably celebrities from those particular franchises. But I just want to say right now that Star Wars Stuff Podcast is going to be there. We're going to be there in force. We'll probably have several of our hosts there. If you can, clear your calendar for October 25th through the 27th. Make your way down to San Antonio, Texas, and check it out. You'll have a great time. There's a lot of different perks. The weather's going to be fantastic. I know a lot of people don't like the heat. I don't like the heat, but October, it's going to be the weather, the condition should be awesome. And I was actually pulling for like a winter convention. And I think someone on Facebook said, well, the weather in Texas is so unpredictable. Yes, it is, but it's not going to be roasting you like it is going to be in the summertime. So the later in the year, the better. And to me, this is right up our alley. Josh, are you going to make it?
If I could, I would. I got to go all the way to New Zealand first.
Oh, man.
Sister's wedding. But yes, I would love to be there if I could.
So guys, if you do want to go to this show, I would say start saving now. Because when tickets go on sale for the autographs, you can buy them online. And once they sell out, they sell out. You can't buy in person. You can only buy online. So I recommend start saving now. So once they go on sale, you don't miss out. Because even if you come to the event and it's sold out, that's it. There's no tickets being sold at the tables like at other conventions. So just save your money now to make sure you don't miss out.
Yeah, I actually spoke with Bob a couple days ago, and I told him that I've been promoting SpaceCon ever since they officially announced it. And I said, yeah, I already knew that we're probably going to get a nice array of big-time Star Wars actors, celebrities, people that are involved with Star Wars. I think it's going to be fantastic. I just love the fact that it's going to be concentrated on space. And I figure with Bob's track record, it's going to be pretty epic. So they did release an update on Facebook. I'll read it right here. This was posted yesterday. It says, in 7 more days, the Intergalactic Fun begins. SpaceCon San Antonio badges go on sale on November 13th. It's a stellar 20% discount, and this is a sale. 2 days later, on November 15th, we will announce our first two headliner guests. Their photo ops and autographs will go on sale on November 17th, kind of what Ray said there. 11 more celebrity guests will then be announced between November 22nd and December 1st. Artist and vendor space applications will be available on SpaceCon San Antonio website starting November 13th, and there will be more to come. And that was the update provided to us by Bob Wills, who we'll probably have on the podcast in January because they'll have a whole lot more to talk about. But I'm super excited for it. Like I said, you're going to see a lot of us there, Retro Ray and myself for sure, because we live very close by. But we're thinking Colin's going to fly down. James is probably going to fly down, and Zach says he'll be there, so you'll get to meet Zach for the first time.
You bet.
And I'll get to meet him for the first time in person. So, yeah, as you can tell, I'm super hyped for it. Check it out if you can. Almost like a mini celebration, too. I just want to say that as well. I mean, you're going to see a lot of happy Star Wars people, I think. So the next thing I want to talk about, speaking of cons, so Colin and Star went to their local con, Grand Rapids Comic Con, and they actually got to meet a Star Wars celebrity in Amy Allen, who played Aayla Secura in episode 3 as well as episode 2. And of course, you saw her sequence in the Order 66 sequence on Felucia. Colin had nothing but great things to say about her. They talked to her for a good while, he said. And Amy Allen actually followed Star on her Instagram because Star does one of the few, I think one of the few Aayla Secura cosplays out there that she kind of like really does on the regular. And she had a great interaction with her. And Amy said that she's down to come on the podcast on StreamYard here once the actor strike ends. So I'm really looking forward to that. And the thing I actually didn't know about her is that she was a PA at Lucasfilm. And she wasn't an actor. They just kind of, George actually pulled her in and said, hey, look, you want to do this part? She basically said yes. And she got to be a Jedi. She does a lot of conventions now. And she'll go to many different cons. I think she did a couple here in Texas recently. And she was up at Grand Rapids Comic-Con. She spoke with Colin and Star. And yeah, we definitely want to talk to her about her experience coming in the future. But Josh, is there going to be anything? Is there anything up con-related with Star Wars actors and in your neck of the woods, your precinct? Yeah.
No, I think our next con is based off of Power Rangers. That's the next one that we have.
Interesting.
We don't have a really big one for just yet, so still waiting.
The big convention in the Orlando area is MegaCon, right?
MegaCon yeah. is the one that you're probably going to see a lot of your favorite Star Wars actors at. Yeah. Like last time we had like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, that's right.
They have everything from horror to Supernatural, Doctor Who,
yeah,
everything.
That's cool. Stuff.
And super busy.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to her about. And she does have a few interesting stories. Colin shared a couple of things with me, but I definitely want to save it for the podcast when she comes on when the actor strike is lifted. So
that's fair.
Yeah, totally is. The next thing I want to talk about is kind of a little off the cuff here, but we spoke about it on Patreon, and it was very coincidental because Ray and Zach were like, oh my gosh, we were just talking about this in our personal lives. So I had a dream about outside of the Star Wars movies and the shows and stuff, because I asked a question to Zach and Ray. I said, have you ever had Star Wars dreams? And of course, yeah, they have. But what were you doing in them? And my Star Wars dream that I recently had was I was at an airport with Katie Sackhoff, and I was talking to her. Like when you wait to get on the plane, she was sitting next to me and we were having a conversation, and I asked her about like her upcoming work. What roles is she trying to do or pursuing, or what she'd been casted in? And she told me she got casted in a DC film for some reason, and she couldn't tell me who she was playing or what the film was. And then the dream kind of morphed into us being at like a Comic-Con. And I think maybe it was because of the whole SpaceCon thing and that whole announcement that we had that experience at Superhero Comic-Con where we got to kind of go behind the curtain and talk to Katie Sackhoff. I know James had a really cool experience with her when we went behind the curtain. We kind of spoke to her right before she got on the panel stage. James, I don't know how it got to this point, but James and Katie started talking about the best taco places in LA. And then Katie just started talking to James, and then we all left. And then before I knew it, James said he looked around and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one back here with Katie Sackhoff talking about taco places in LA. But that was the dream I had. It feels like my reality is kind of merging into what I dream. And I asked Ray and Zach, and they talked about it on Patreon. But Josh, I'm wondering about you specifically. What kind of Star Wars dreams have you had?
Specifically,
that you can talk about on this family podcast.
I always think of just, if it's like a dream, I would say I get a lot of like,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bounty hunter ones. I mean, for me, I've always wanted them to announce a bounty hunter show, and I think I've had multiple dreams of who I would have as like people coming in and being like, hey, look, we're gonna do this bounty hunter show. And then I think the next dream, the main one I've had, is literally having anything to do with Batuu. A show or a movie that has something to do on Batuu has been nice. My number one, since I'm always there, but
yeah, of course, yeah. I think everyone probably here has had that experience. When I was younger and I worked at McDonald's, I would work like a 8-hour shift of doing one thing for 8 hours, and I come home and then I'm trying to get away from it, and then I dream my job like making a burger, and it's like I can't get away from it. I don't know if you've had that experience, but I've heard a lot of people talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know about it being at McDonald's, but yeah, for Galaxy's Edge, that works. That's fine. That's
yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So Zach and Ray, I know you talked about it on Patreon, but let our general listeners know about your experiences, Zach.
So, like I talked about a little bit on Patreon, I have dreams where I'm like submersed in the Star Wars world. I've had roommates tell me after we've woken up from sharing a room, like, hey, you were talking about saving the Republic in the morning when you're gonna wake up. And you know, it's like I've had dreams where I pictured Umbara trying to, you know, but there were battle droids in the Umbara scene in my dream, and I was with the 501st slicing down battle droids. And I've had dreams where I've been chased down by General Grievous, and I wake up like kind of freaked out because, play your cards right. I mean, Grievous can be a pretty freaky character if it's done a certain way. And but yeah, mine are definitely more just because I have such a passion for wanting to be submerged in that world, and it's kind of an escape mechanism for me a little bit. And in my real life, if you know, I'm just I don't know, sitting in the car or dozing off at work and getting distracted for a couple of minutes, it kind of goes into what if, oh, I would do this, I would have this type of starfighter, oh, I would want this colored lightsaber. And that's just kind of my dreams kind of reflect that a little bit.
And you said you also have sensations of like being able to jump with the Force.
Yeah. So there's definitely been times where I've done crazy Force maneuvers, like specifically Force jumps, and it kind of makes me twitch and wakes me up a little bit. I don't know why that's the way it is, but yeah, yes, Force abilities are definitely incorporated, and specific ones will wake me up.
The ones that wake me up is when I'm wearing roller skates or roller blades for some reason, and I'm tearing embedded, and I'm about to fall, and I just like shake violently in bed.
Yeah.
And my wife is like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just had a dream where I was falling.
I just ate it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, Ray?
Now, mine just, it's kind of weird. I think it's because we see this so much played out in other movies. The whole Luke Skywalker on Hoth, where he's reaching for the lightsaber. And then, of course, we see it again in, you know, Mallrats, where you see Silent Bob trying to take the cigarette from his hand. And then, of course, recently we saw it, you know, in Ahsoka, where we see Sabine practicing to try to move the coffee cup and stuff like that. So my dream is always trying to reach for the lightsaber to bring it towards me. But yeah, that's pretty much what mine always is. I we talked about it, of course, on the Patreon, but what you were saying, it's kind of reaching out for stuff that I want to get to or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of weird. It's always that one I always have dreams about. It's occurring.
As a kid,
it's occurring.
Yeah, as a kid, when you're watching TV and the remote's on the other couch or chair or whatever, you always try and reach out to grab it, see if it actually works.
Yeah.
Which exactly. which brings up one of my favorite memories with me and my dad. When I was little, he talked to me, and this is a real thing, guys. This isn't like made up, but he told me the story, and Josh might know this story living in Florida because it's in Florida, about the Coral Castle. You heard of it, Josh?
I don't continue, and I'll say yes or no.
So, and there was an unsolved mysteries on this story as well. So it's a story about like where we find him, where the telling of this guy's life starts when he's middle-aged. He's almost like a hitchhiker. He's picked up, he's dropped off in Florida. This person, I hope I'm getting the story right, but the way I remember it is this guy just ends up in Florida. He's dropped off in the middle of nowhere. And in that spot in Florida, the ground is made out of coral. So it's like hard rock. And he's left there. And then people check up on him. And he has moved pieces and cut pieces of coral without any machinery. And so the theory is he was doing this with his mind. So it's essentially a guy that discovered the force and could use the force. And people couldn't figure out how he was moving all this heavy rock, kind of like the pyramids. And he built essentially this castle type structure out there in a city in Florida, and it's called the Coral Castle, and you can visit it today. And it was just a single guy, and when people would check up on him, they would see like very rudimentary like tools that he was using. And he said, "Yep, I'm using this." And they're like, "No, yeah, it's impossible to use that stuff to move all these like tons of rocks." And that's the story that always stuck with me. And you can visit it today. He built a rock. It's weird. He built a rocking chair out of solid coral that somehow it's like cut to like a precision of like a machine cutting it. And it just constantly rocks. It's perfectly balanced. It just never stops rocking.
Wow.
So yeah, look it up. It's out there. It's on Google. I've talked about it before on other stuff, but, yeah, that's just one of the stories my dad would talk to me about. And I was thinking, oh, well, maybe you hear the whole like, oh, we only use as humans like 20% of our brain or whatever. If you unlock the rest of it, you can do crazy stuff. But
could be an alien, too. He could have been an alien.
That's possible. Yeah.
So did people not see him do any of this himself? Like no one would stay and watch for a couple hours to try to watch him move? Like, I guess per the story, I don't know. I might be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Unsolved Mysteries episode did talk about people saying, "Oh yeah, I'm going to leave," and like try and like,
yeah,
like take a look at what he was doing. And yeah. No one said that they could see it with their own eyes, that he was moving stuff with his mind. But I mean, there's no current technology at the time. I think he did this in the 70s.
Okay.
70s or early 80s. And they asked him, too, why he was doing this. And the only thing he would say, which no one could make sense of, he said he built it for a Sweet 16. And it's like, was he talking about like his daughter, his girlfriend when he was younger? We don't know. But
yeah,
the castle still exists today. If you just simply Google it, you can find it. But
that kind of makes me think of like if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, do the other trees laugh at it? Or I don't know, like just kind of just if you step away. And that's cool to think about, though.
Yeah, if we can actually unlock that power, that would be
that'd
be really cool. So
for sure.
Yeah. And announced this week is another, I think we didn't talk about this hilt at the beginning of the show, but the Kanan Jarrus lightsaber hilt is going to be for sale, like Galaxy's Edge. Here's a picture of it if you're watching us on video.
That looks sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Josh works there. And I think you reported that it's not quite on sale yet, right?
They're doing the preview thing from what I know. I haven't been in just like, yeah. I was only there back like a week ago, and that was for my anniversary. So they have the display up right now in California. Don't know when it's going to come out. Hopefully it'll be faster than Cal Kestis's lightsaber. But I think that they're going to limit how many they make this time, because they made so many of the Cal Kestis ones, they were practically half price by the end of it. So I think that they're going to limit how many they're making this round. And then it'll be interesting to see any of the other lightsabers that come from this, because this is their second fan edition of lightsabers. So after this one's released, we'll get our third fan edition. So it'd be interesting to see what they pop out with.
Yeah, what I've heard is
lightsaber.
And what I've heard is you can actually take it apart like Kanan does in Rebels and have the two pieces separate from each other.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that's pretty much all I had, guys. Was there any like Star Wars stuff that you guys wanted to bring up, mention?
Oh, just that if you guys are into comics, don't forget, tomorrow High Republic issue number 1 drops. So don't forget to pick that up at your local comic shops, which is, we will pick up ours from Dragon's Lair here in San Antonio.
Yep, that's them. So yeah, if you're in the San Antonio area, check out Dragon's Lair Comics and Fantasy at Alamo Ranch in particular, because they are the comic book shop that's supplying us with our comics when we do reviews on comic books here. So definitely support your local comic book shop. Either way, if you can't make it out here to San Antonio, support comic books. I know it's one of those medias that forms of media that kind of goes up and down as far as like popularity. And I remember one of my favorite comic book shops, it was in New Braunfels, Texas, that when I was a little kid, I would always go to. And that was the first place I actually heard about them starting to make an X-Men film for the very first time. And they had like a black and white card, I still remember it, of all the actors. And I was like, who's Hugh Jackman? He's going to play Wolverine? This is going to be terrible. It's like, who is this dude? So, yeah, needless to say that he's played the character longer than any Hollywood actors played any character at this point. So, yeah, it worked out.
Yeah, especially since the actor strike looks like it's going to take a little bit longer. If you need some stuff to read, that's where you want to go, guys.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a ton of different runs that are canon, I guess you could say, until they aren't, if there's a live action contradiction.
Yeah.
But Dr. Aphra, droids, so Obi-Wan.
Yeah, so we got
Dr. I don't Aphra. Know why we haven't had anything with her in live action. That is the most perfect character.
Hey, just give it time. We got
I think it's coming in the Vader series, Josh, when they announce that.
Goodness, please.
So then we also got the regular Star Wars issue. So there's plenty to read, guys. If you want to read Star Wars, go and pick some stuff up, man. There's plenty. They got Mandalorian. So sky's the limit, guys.
Yeah.
Tons on the way, too.
Yeah.
So,
all right. I just want to say thanks to Dragon's Lair, of course. You saw their image on the screen. They're supplying us with comics. And thank you to all the listeners. I want to kind of reiterate that during Ahsoka, I think we had like record numbers of listens and views on video, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. So thank you to everyone out there. And of course, all of our awesome Patreon support. Can't say thank you enough. And for Josh, Zach, Retro Ray, my name is David, and may the Force be with you.
Always.